Blog Talk Radio.
Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler. It is March 25th, 2016. The time keeps on moving. We've had a tragic week in Europe, lots to talk about. But for those of you who are listening to my program on Monday, and that would be over at Red State Talk Radio, not to confuse you, we're just rebroadcasting the Friday program for your listening, I can't even say pleasure, perhaps, because what we're going to discuss is not pleasurable, but it's important because we need, as Americans, to understand the nature of the threats we face. We need to understand what our government should be doing, but has not been doing, to look out for our best interests, for our safety, for our security, and for the protection of the American dream for all of us. So I thank you for joining me. We will play that game of catch-up, as we always do at the end of the week, and there's a lot to catch up on. Those of you who are familiar with me know that I'm a retired immigration agent, a senior special agent, spent half my career with the Drug Task Force. I've been involved with the arrest and investigation of terrorists. So what is happening, at least through the prism that I've acquired in all my years of experience, are perhaps a bit different from what you've been hearing in the mainstream media. And so I am happy to provide those perspectives because, quite frankly, I am disappointed greatly by what is not being talked about. And if you want to do a little bit of follow-up, do a little bit of reading about some materials that I've written, I have a couple of websites I always like to recommend, especially at the beginning of the program, my own personal website, michaelcutler.net. C-U-T-L-E-R, one word, michaelcutler.net. For many years, I've been very proud to be a contributor, a senior fellow, as they've given me the title, with Californians for Population Stabilization, capsweb.org. They're located in beautiful downtown Santa Barbara, California. Great place to be. I've been there a bunch of times. Always a pleasure to be there, especially when it's the winter here. And it's almost never winter there, so always good working with them. Their website, by the way, capsweb.org. And while their name emphasizes California, clearly California has been the canary in the coal mine because the impact of illegal immigration on California, pardon me, has certainly been very visible, very obvious, and it's the same issues that we are now confronting clear across the United States, in towns and cities in all 50 states. Also, I am very proud to be a columnist for a terrific online publication, Front Page Magazine. It's the product of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Been working with them for about a year now, again, providing my perspectives, trying to do my best so that people can understand really what immigration is about, because it's almost always misportrayed in the media, sometimes because the people don't know better, but mostly because there is an agenda, isn't there always? Pardon me, I seem to have a frog in my throat. But also I write for The Social Contract, and we're going to talk about a couple of articles I've written for them. It's a quarterly publication. And again, another organization that I've been involved with for many years. And so this is all part and parcel of what has been my mission, especially since the terror attacks of 9/11, to try to wake up our fellow Americans, try to wake up our alleged political leaders so that they do what they really need to do, and they have not been doing. There's too much money to be had through the exploitation of cheap labor, and not just the bottom-rung jobs. The H-1B visa program is the classic example of how Americans are being screwed by their own government so that the politicians can get the contributions of those people who support the H-1B visa program and at the same time undermine the middle class, by the importation of large numbers of foreign high-tech workers. And we're told, well, America doesn't produce the engineers, the scientists, the technicians that we need, which is complete rubbish. It was Americans who went to the moon 40 years ago and came back not once but repeatedly. It was Americans who broke the sound barrier, Americans who launched the first communication satellites, Americans who launched the Voyager and Pioneer space probes that are now soaring out of the solar system. This nonsense, this bashing of Americans by our own purported representatives needs to stop. And if anybody wonders why people have picked up the war cry of Donald Trump, they only have to listen to the garbage being spewed by politicians about the people who put them in office. You know, the Americans who are too lazy or too stupid to do an honest, difficult day's work. No, we're talking about the politicians here, folks, not about hardworking Americans. But you'd never know it because that's the crap, and I don't know any other word to use, that we keep hearing from politicians from both sides of the aisle. You know, Rubio, we have to modernize the immigration system. Right. If you think that's modernizing so that we send hundreds of billions of dollars in remittances to other countries, including India, which, by the way, globally gets the greatest amount of remittances, money wired home. Well, if that's his idea of modernization, let's go back to the good old days. This is nuts. And, you know, we're paying with our security. Just this week, some Iranians have been indicted and charged with hacking into computer databases, computer systems for banks and a small dam in upstate New York. And you got to wonder if perhaps they or the people who taught them were educated in the United States. While we're being told that we don't have enough high-tech workers and our schools are lousy, we have nearly 500,000 foreign students studying the STEM curriculum in universities across America. STEM, of course, is science, technology, engineering, and math. So this bashing of Americans by our own politicians, I think, has gotten enough Americans nauseated and angry so that they are seeking an alternative that it would appear that Donald Trump provides. Because I don't hear anybody else speaking up for Americans. When John Kasich can say, well, we can't arrest illegal aliens and then leave their children crying on the porch, come on, people, this is stupid. Well, I want to know what Kasich thinks about Americans who are standing there crying when they find out their children or their spouses or their parents or their brothers or sisters or best friends were killed by aliens who have no legal right to be here, were killed by terrorists who never should have been admitted into the country, were killed by drug overdoses because that garbage is pouring across our border as though there was no border because, frankly, there is no border. But Kasich does not give a damn about American lives. If he did, he wouldn't be saying what he's saying. It's outrageous to have a guy stand there and talk about crying children. And by the way, for the record, then I want to get to what happened in Belgium. But for the record, you know, someone needs to give Mr. Kasich a phone call and tell him that he's a dummy. Because if he knew anything about the law, and obviously he does not, or he wouldn't be saying what he's saying, any child born in America to an illegal alien, and we can have the debate about the 14th Amendment, that child is an American citizen. And that child can hop back and forth across the U.S. border 48 times a day or more. So that child can go home with his parents to whatever their home country is, or they can stay here in the care of other adults, or they can bounce back and forth. They can have a U.S. passport. They can return home to the home country of the parents, and then return to America whenever they want. Those children have options that the kids who lost their parents to the violence of criminal aliens don't have, because the Americans and the lawful immigrants, and in fact anybody who lost a relative to a criminal, can't ever be reunited with that person, at least not in this lifetime. So to hear Kasich take out the crying towel, oh my God, we're not going to separate families. And by the way, for the record, under the immigration laws I am sure Mr. Kasich did not bother to read, because, you know, you can't let the truth get in the way of the sob story. If an alien has been living in the United States illegally, physically present for more than a decade, has no convictions for serious crime, and can demonstrate that a United States citizen or lawful immigrant family member would suffer undue hardship were that illegal alien to be deported, they can apply for termination of removal proceedings and be permitted to stay here forever. So there is relief in the law. But don't let that stop Mr. Kasich, because he has an agenda, and I'm sure the agenda may well have something to do with what was reported in Fox and elsewhere, that Mr. Soros, George Soros, the bankroller of Open Borders, gave him hundreds of thousands of dollars in campaign contributions. So apparently Mr. Kasich has been bought and paid for, and he's just delivering now because, you know, you want the money, then you got to work for it. So Mr. Kasich is apparently working for the money now. How wonderful. People's lives are on the line. And you know, I am so tired of the language, and I wrote about this for capsweb.org about journalists needing to be honest. They won't use the word alien. The word alien simply means any person, not a citizen or resident of the United States. There's no insult, but there is clarity. And the newspapers and the TV programs identify people such as myself who simply want our borders secured and our immigration laws enforced as being anti-immigrant. How in God's green earth are you anti-immigrant when you support the laws? And in fact, I made a career, 30-year career, of enforcing those laws that permit more aliens to legally immigrate to America than the rest of the world combined. If you support the laws, then you support legal immigration. And if you support legal immigration, then you're talking about the admission of roughly 1 million new immigrants every year. You're talking about the naturalization of over 500,000 new citizens every year. Does that sound anti-immigrant to you? But these are the lies, these are the accusations, these are the falsehoods. And you know, it's remarkable because other than One American News Network and Newsmax, the other networks are not willing to have me on to discuss the immigration issue the way it needs to be, even as they're running 24/7 coverage about the Belgian terror attack. So let me first tip my hat to Newsmax TV and One American News Network, where apparently you are free to speak your mind and speak the truth. I'm furious. You know, we keep hearing the same nonsense. They bring on generals on the other networks. We need human intelligence. We need intelligence. We can't have these enclaves that we're seeing in Paris and that we're seeing in Belgium. And when they talk about intelligence, what are they really talking about? Does anybody in the audience or anybody on that set really understand what the word means? It's become a basket term. You throw all your terms into a little basket. Oh, it's about intelligence. I've heard this at congressional hearings from members of Congress. Do you know how many times I have sat there as a witness at a hearing where I wanted to bring with me three items that I would have distributed appropriately to the particular member of Congress, and perhaps some would qualify for one of the items, well, maybe that others should get all three. Because what I wanted to hand out were dunce cap straitjackets and handcuffs. This is loony. The way you cultivate intelligence, human intelligence, means informants. Informants. And I spent 4 years at the Unified Intelligence Division of DEA from about 1988 to around 1991. It was about 3.5 years. And then I was promoted to the position of senior special agent and assigned to the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force. When I was at DEA Intelligence, when I became a senior agent with the Drug Task Force, one of my key responsibilities, not just mine, all immigration agents, was to help cultivate informants using our unique authority as immigration agents, because most of the drug traffickers are foreign-born. So you arrest somebody, he's an illegal alien, he's involved with a narcotic situation, and you say to the guy, look, depending on whether or not DEA goes forward with the prosecution, we may be able to help you stay here and even bring family members here, but you have to help us out. Or we go into the community. And if you encounter illegal aliens, you do the same thing. Are you aware of what's going on next door? There's a drug trafficking organization. There's a house of prostitution, and the girls are being used in conjunction with a drug smuggling operation as well. You know, the line's sometimes blurred. Human traffickers are very often narcotic smugglers, same deal. And people would be a little bit reluctant to cooperate and say, what's the problem? Well, I've got a problem. I'm here illegally. And by the way, this wasn't just within the Latino community. It was the Russian community, the Asian community, the Jamaican community, could have been the Israeli community. This isn't about race, religion, or ethnicity. As I wrote in a recent article, every race, every religion, every ethnicity, every nationality has the good, the bad, and the ugly, period. You know, beauty is only skin deep. When we get beyond the so-called, what I call superficial factors, race, religion, and ethnicity, human nature is human nature. And when you could say to that person, I can help you stay here, I'll hit a home run for you, but first you have to hit a home run for me, you'd be amazed at how many informants we were able to cultivate. Now, what you may not know, because this is never in the newspapers, because quite frankly, the FBI always likes to take credit, and I had a desk at the FBI for a bunch of years, and some of my close friends were bureau agents. But the second greatest number of agents who are involved with the Joint Terrorism Task Force, believe it or not, are immigration agents, second only to the FBI, because it's the FBI's operation, so it makes sense. Immigration is a critical factor in the investigation and in the arrest and rounding up, if you will, rolling up terrorist organizations, narcotics trafficking organizations, transnational criminal organizations. Immigration is the big gun. There was a time when our country actually arrested illegal aliens, unlike now, where under Mr. Obama's draconian policies, God help the agent who makes an arrest that's not authorized. See, in the old days, my partner and I, depending on what squad, it was one squad known as Area Control. The initials were ACIS, Area Control Illegal Status. And our job in that squad was to find as many illegal aliens as we could. Didn't matter what their backgrounds were. Didn't matter about nationality. Never did. So we'd go to factories. We'd go to the police. If they arrested somebody for drunk driving and there were five of his buddies in the car and they were all illegal, we'd come down to the precinct, or sometimes they'd put the illegals in a van and drive them to our office. And so we would simply arrest illegal aliens. We didn't have to go to our boss and play Simon Says, may I arrest this guy? The only time this happened previously, not surprisingly, is under the alleged leadership, and boy do I use that term so loosely, of Jimmy Carter, Mr. Obama's dementor, if you will, because during the census, we were ordered, you will not, I mean, it was like underlined three times, you will not arrest any illegal alien without getting clearance because we want all these people counted. Yes, because the census was ongoing and it was a way of politicizing immigration law enforcement so that the cities, which tended to be the most likely to be Democrat-controlled cities, would have bigger numbers of residents if they made certain to count all the illegal aliens, and so they'd get even more representation in Congress and ultimately in the Electoral College. It was gerrymandering. So we were under the gun. God forbid you arrest an alien without getting clearance. Could you imagine a police officer finding some guy doing something wrong and having to call the captain and saying to the captain, hey, captain, I just found a guy urinating on the wall. Can I cuff him? That was what Jimmy Carter started, and that is what Mr. Obama has raised to an art form. They have handcuffed the agents, not people who are here illegally. And then you hear the broadcasters, and they make these great statements. I have to tell you, I was listening to Bill O'Reilly the other day, and I thought I was going to have apoplexy, because he sat there, and this was, I believe, the day before the attack in Belgium. And he said, I told Donald, you know, you got to stop this business about talking about locking up 12 million illegal aliens. The courts aren't going to allow it to happen. You're not going to arrest anybody, so get over it. And he said, Donald finally wised up. Now he understands. Or words to that effect. I'm not running a tape of what he said, but that was the gist of Mr. O'Reilly's statement. Do you realize how insane that statement is? When I was an agent, and I can assure you it's no different today, There was no way that the courts would block you from arresting an alien who was subject to apprehension for violating immigration laws. Now, there's a bunch of factors that come into play. If the person's from a country where they're giving out temporary protected status or whatever, you know, but as an agent, you're cognizant of all the regulations and all the orders and all the requirements. But there were times when I needed a criminal arrest warrant. The alien had been deported, came back again. You'd go to court. It was the federal magistrate who would issue you the warrant. It was the federal magistrate that would issue you the subpoena or federal search warrants for aliens or documents. So to make the statement, oh, the courts aren't going to allow it. If we get a president in the White House who understands the significance of enforcing immigration laws and tells the agents, go out there and start locking them up, the court would be the facilitator, not the roadblock. The roadblock is at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So when newscasters or whatever you want to call them, like Mr. O'Reilly, go out there and make these statements and obfuscate the issue, it doesn't help us, because all it does is to confuse and confound Americans who are desperate to know what in the world we're supposed to do with this mess. Now, I disagree with Donald Trump, to be honest with you, about going out and preventing Muslims from entering America. It won't work, and I don't think a lot of Americans feel comfortable with that. You know, my grandmother was killed in the Holocaust, along with many of my family members. America is the country of religious freedom. Tragically, radical Islamists have taken that religion and used it as part and parcel of the brainwash. But to declare people of a particular religion to be excludable, he can do it. The law permits it. But understand the factors that we're dealing with. Number one, you're going to get people lying about their religion. We saw this with the Russian mob. They would come in claiming they were Jews. As Jews, they were being persecuted, so they want political asylum. And we gave it to them, and it turned out they weren't Jewish. So you don't think that a radical Islamist isn't going to claim to be other than Muslim? So there's a bunch of reasons why it's a good soundbite, but I have a better idea. Let me tell you what my idea is. And I've articulated it on several television programs over at Newsmax, and I think I may have raised this issue on the Daily Ledger. If I were given responsibility to take care of immigration tomorrow morning, I would immediately start hiring many more ICE agents for interior enforcement. We've got to stop talking about the border. I'm going to tell you right now, you're thinking I'm crazy. The border's got to be secure, but let's get over it. We have 50 border states, and anybody who is absolutely determined to get into the United States will probably succeed, or his cohorts will, okay? We admit tens of millions of temporary visitor aliens, non-immigrants, and they go missing in America. At least 500,000 every year, they believe, is the number. We also have plenty of aliens who get convicted of crimes that, even if they have green cards, become subject to deportation. If they don't leave the country, you've got to look for them inside the United States. That's not about the border. That's interior enforcement. In fact, I wrote an article for capsweb.org, and the title of the article was Effective Interior Enforcement of Immigration Law, Vital to National Security. And you know, we have aliens coming in as stowaways, smaller numbers, but numbers nevertheless of illegal aliens do run the U.S.-Canadian border. So this focus, you know, Ted Cruz, oh, we're going to secure the Mexican border. Ted, none of the 9/11 terrorists ran the Mexican border. I'm quite certain that terrorists have subsequently entered the United States through the Mexican border. So I don't want anyone to walk away from my program tonight and say, oh, my God, Cutler said don't secure the border. No, we have to. But nobody talks about anything else. And I wrote an article for Front Page Magazine not that long ago, and I called it Border Security and the Immigration Colander. You know, that bowl that has all the holes in it that you use to drain pasta. Well, we're being told is if you partially plug one hole, and by the way, that's all they were talking about is partially blocking with one hole, because what they referred to as securing the border would take 5 years and would involve 90% of operational control over high traffic areas. Not my words. That was what it was in the initial law. Believe it or not. What does it even mean? You know, I compare securing the Mexican border to the wing on an airplane. you know, the airplane needs a wing to fly, but without the wing, a wing by itself goes nowhere. An airplane without a wing won't fly, but a wing by itself goes nowhere. Let me get the words out one way or the other. So we understand the need to secure the Mexican border. That isn't the discussion. This isn't the conversation we should be having. This is like, okay, that's the mission. Get it done. Kennedy said we're going to the moon. It took 9 years we went to the moon. And this was over 40 years ago with computers that were almost as primitive as an abacus. Now we're being told that the greatest nation on earth can't figure out how to control the border. You know, my mother used to say, well, there's a will, there's a way. There is no will, and that's why they will not find the way. Too much money being made between the drugs and the aliens coming across the border. The money is pouring in. You know, if you took the drug money out of the banks, out of Wall Street, out of real estate, high-end auto sales, high-end jewelry sales, those poor people would be taking such a hit. Give me a break. You know, and with the drugs come the gangs, and they set up shop in communities, and they're the ones killing people. We keep hearing about gun control. How about getting the drugs off the street? How about getting the gangs off the street? So let's secure the Mexican border, but let's move on. You need meaningful interior enforcement. Customs and Border Protection is responsible for conducting the inspections of arriving cargo and people at 328 ports of entry across the United States. That includes seaports, international airports, and land border ports on the northern and southern borders. So we have 328 ports of entry, nearly 60,000 employees between the Border Patrol, the inspectors, and support staff. But we have about 6,000 or 7,000 ICE agents. More than half are doing customs work, which means not immigration. And now the administration won't even tell anybody how many ICE agents still remain. I'm sure many have left under the circumstances that they're forced to work. It's a nightmare. And because DHS is also the umbrella agency for Secret Service, now that we're in full campaign swing, many of those ICE agents who should be doing immigration work aren't doing immigration work. They're doing protection of the candidates. So, you know, maybe you've got, I don't know, 12 ICE agents for America. For those of you old enough to remember Maxwell Smart when he was, you know, tied up by the bad guys, by Control or Chaos. And he said, I'm sorry, he worked for Control. It was Chaos that was the adversary. And he's tied up and he's telling the bad guys, this building is surrounded by 1,000 cops and soldiers. And they look at him like he's crazy. And he says, well, we've got a team of commando units, and he keeps going down and down. And finally he said to them, would you believe, two cops in a rowboat. That's pretty much what ICE enforcement looks like today, two cops in a rowboat. So this notion that we're enforcing the law is a joke, but it's not funny. It's really not funny. And on top of it, you know, I was just watching a Lewis Black routine. Very, very funny. If you've seen it, if you haven't, go look it up. It's very funny. Red, White, and Screwed, one of Lewis Black's best routines. And he did this routine during the Bush administration. And one of the things he touched on was immigration. And back then he was talking about there's no way our government can get a hold of 11 million illegal aliens. 11 million illegal aliens a decade ago. So every year, 500,000 more aliens overstay their visas or otherwise violate the terms of their admission. We've had all those unaccompanied minors charging the border. We have all these people pouring across the border, and the number never goes up. So I wrote an article for capsweb.org. I expect it to be out shortly. I've tentatively called it the immigration clown car. You know, the clown car at the circus, the door opens up, and this little Volkswagen or a little Fiat or whatever, all these clowns keep coming out. There's like an endless supply of clowns. Here, it's the reverse. All these people keep coming in, but the number never goes up. I mean, if you believe there's 11 million illegal aliens here, you probably flunk the wiggle test. The wiggle test means you stick your fingers in your ears at the same time, and if they touch in the middle, you flunk the test. There's probably 30 to 40 million illegal aliens here. And there's nothing being done to get rid of them. And all this does is encourage more illegal immigration, because as soon as these folks manage to get here, And as soon as they're able to go about their business, they contact their families back home. And I don't care if back home is in Tijuana, Mexico, or if it's in Beijing, China, or if it's in Kingston, Jamaica. You know, this isn't about any one country, any one ethnicity. This is a problem from around the world that we're importing. And they're telling their friends and their family, come on down. No one's going to stop you. You can do whatever you want. And most of the politicians are promising that we're all going to get green cards eventually anyway. And believe me, they don't want citizenship. You know, Kasich said we're not going to give them citizenship. They don't want citizenship. They just want to be able to work. And so with all those people here, think of the size of the haystack in which criminals and terrorists are hiding themselves. And because immigration is no longer a factor, we've lost a tremendous tool in the intelligence community to use immigration as an incentive for informants to come out of the woodwork and cooperate with authorities and tell the authorities what they know about people in their community who may be involved with terrorism. So we hear all this talk about we need informants and we need to know what's going on in the communities. And what nobody is discussing is just how pivotal a role immigration has in the past and should be playing now in figuring out what is going on in close-knit communities. You know, there was a time when if the police were looking for a murderer, and the guy was Chinese or Jamaican or Panamanian or from Honduras or from Europe, call us up. Or they'd come into the office and say, does anybody have an informant? We're looking for this guy. Can you circulate this photograph? And very often there was one of our snitches that would come back and say to the bureau guy, yeah, the guy is living at 129 Main Street or whatever. And they'd go and arrest him. Because it was immigration that was most closely tied to those immigrant communities, for good, bad, or worse. So to hear the nonsense of ignoring immigration, we are flying blind in a storm. And the blinders are being put on us by our own government because they've been bribed. They've been bought. They've been paid for by the United States Chamber of Commerce. They've been bought and paid for by a host of special interest groups and industries and individuals who see money in the open borders. This is insanity. Because, you see, we're inviting a catastrophe. The visa waiver program should have ended on 9/12. We had 26 visa waiver countries on 9/11. And you're hearing a lot about the visa waiver countries now. I've been talking about it since before 9/11. I did my first hearing 4.5 years before 9/11 on immigration fraud and visa fraud. So the visa waiver countries now stand at 38. There's talk of increasing the number still. Congress comes up with a bill, which they call the enhanced, you know, visa waiver program, which is a joke. It's laughable. When people die, it's hard to laugh. Maybe it's easy to go to a ball game if you're the president or dance the tango with some babe in Argentina. Boy, didn't that look presidential. I have to tell you, this is madness. I really feel like I've landed in the Twilight Zone and Rod Serling has been writing the script in so many ways. But the reality is that if we enforce the immigration laws, we'd have the eyes and ears we need in those communities. We don't. Because too many people are making too much money off the deal. But here's what's remarkable. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, through the Discover America Partnership, and you can go read about it in my articles, you know, michaelcutler.net, capsweb.org, Front Page Magazine, The Social Contract. If you read the articles I've written, you will see that the Discover America Partnership is where the U.S. Chamber of Commerce partnered with the hotel, hospitality, travel industries, and they are pressuring the administration and politicians to keep expanding the visa waiver program. Why? Because they want to get more people on those airplanes. And if you've flown lately, I took a flight recently to Kansas City to do a speaking engagement. And by the way, if any of you are familiar with opportunities for speaking engagement, you can reach me through michaelcutler.net. You can shoot me an email, or you can reach me through capsweb.org. They'll be glad to pass the message along to me. But, you know, there was just no room in the airplane. I felt like a sardine. I was waiting for them to start pouring oil on us, so I'd really feel like I was in the sardine can. I mean, it was remarkable. There was no leg room, no shoulder room. The seat in front of me was right in my face, and then the guy reclined. He almost broke my glasses. I mean, this is not the way to travel. But this is what the Chamber of Commerce wants to do to America. Jam as many people in and see people not as human beings, but as cash machines. That's all that we've become, cash generators, like slave trade. So they want to fill all those seats on the airplanes and all the seats in the cruise liners or all the cabins, and they want to fill all the seats in the ballparks and in the theaters and the restaurants and get people to buy all the trinkets and all the other garbage. And this is all about profit. And, you know, for the longest time I said, well, when there's another terrorist attack, nobody's going to fly. And so you'll be able to turn airport runways into parking lots. Wednesday, after the attack in Belgium, the attack, I believe, was Tuesday, Wednesday, I was listening to Fox, and what did they say? The value of travel-related stock had plummeted. Now, of course, it's temporary, but if, God forbid, there's a monster attack, there will be no travel industry. This is what their greed is like. They can only think about money, not about people dying. Although I've written about it, and so I'll repeat it again, maybe they are thinking about people dying at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And I'm sure they represent funeral home businesses. It's a multi-billion-dollar-a-year business. So maybe, just maybe, they're drumming up business for the funeral industry. Because people are dying as a consequence of our open borders, because of the narcotics and the criminals. And this is not xenophobia. If this is xenophobia, then we are all xenophobic as long as you ask who's there when someone knocks on your door. If you ask who's there, according to the open borders anarchists, you're a xenophobe. You're supposed to throw the door open and say, welcome, welcome, welcome. No, better yet, you're not supposed to throw the door open. There should have been no door. There should have been no door. If you were truly not xenophobic, you would take the door off the hinges, especially in the summertime. I mean, heck, it's warm enough. And you should be sleeping with no door on your front, on the front or back of your house. Just let people wander in because maybe they need to use the bathroom. Maybe they need a glass of water. How dare you deny people the right to use your bathroom? Well, I'm saying it tongue in cheek. But how far off the mark am I being? And if you look at the 9/11 Commission report, they were so clear about how significant immigration is. I want to read just a couple of quick things to you so that you will understand this. This comes from the 9/11 Commission staff report on terrorist travel. Think about it, terrorist travel. A separate report on just how the terrorists were able to move around the country and move around the world. That's the domain of immigration, folks. It's not even the domain of the FBI. Immigration is about the movement of people across international borders, period. That is the agency. That is their mission. That is their mission. So let me read this to you. Targeting travel is at least as powerful a weapon against terrorists as targeting their money. The United States should combine terrorist travel intelligence, operations, and law enforcement in a strategy to intercept terrorists and find terrorist travel facilitators and constrain terrorist mobility. What agency does it sound like they're talking about? And yet, when was the last time you saw a mainstream news program talk about immigration from that angle? Here's something else. Let me read this to you. In the decade before September 11, border security encompassing travel, entry, and immigration was not seen as a national security matter. Public figures voiced concern about the war on drugs, the right level and kind of immigration, problems along the southwest border, migration crisis originating in the Caribbean and elsewhere, was the growing criminal traffic in humans. The immigration system as a whole was widely viewed as increasingly dysfunctional and badly in need of reform. In national security circles, however, only smuggling of weapons of mass destruction carried weight, not the entry of terrorists who might use such weapons or the presence of associated foreign-born terrorists. For terrorists, travel documents are as important as weapons. Terrorists must travel clandestinely to meet, train, plan, case targets, and gain access to attack them. To them, international travel presents a great danger because they must surface through regulated channels, present themselves to border security officials, or attempt to circumvent inspection points. In their travels, terrorists use evasive measures such as altered and counterfeit passports and visas, specific travel methods and routes, liaisons with corrupt government officials, human smuggling networks, supportive travel agencies, and immigration and identity fraud. What are we talking about? But Mr. Kasich is worried about children crying on their porch if we enforce the immigration laws, you see. This is madness. It goes on and says, before 9/11, no agency of the U.S. government systematically analyzed terrorist travel strategies. Had they done so, they could have discovered the ways in which the terrorist predecessors to Al-Qaeda had been systematically but detectably exploiting weaknesses in our border security since the early 1990s. We found that as many as 15 of the 19 hijackers were potentially vulnerable to interception by border authorities. Analyzing their characteristic travel documents and travel patterns could have allowed authorities to intercept 4 to 15 hijackers, and more effective use of information available in U.S. government databases could have identified up to 3 hijackers. Looking back, we can also see that the routine operations of our immigration laws, that is, aspects of those laws not specifically aimed at protecting against terrorism, inevitably shaped Al-Qaeda's planning and opportunities. Because they were deemed not to be bona fide tourists or students as they claimed, 5 conspirators that we know of tried to get visas and failed, and 1 was denied entry by an inspector. We also found that had the immigration system set a higher bar for determining whether individuals are or who or what they claim to be and ensuring routine consequences for violations, it could potentially have excluded, removed, or come into further contact with several hijackers who did not appear to meet the terms for admitting short-term visitors. Think about it. In fact, at least 3 of the 9/11 hijackers were stopped by police days before the attacks. Imagine if the cops had called immigration and immigration arrest. We might never have even known about 9/11. It might have brought that whole terrorist operation to a grinding halt with anybody even being aware of the consequences of the arrest. There's something in law enforcement known as randomness. I mean, think about it. It's estimated by some sources that half the FBI's 10 most wanted don't get arrested by the FBI going in with a SWAT team, but get arrested by a cop stopping somebody for running a red light. That's randomness. In 1976, my very first solo case involved an alien with an altered visa. Came here from Israel. It turned out that he was here to get money to buy explosives so that they could detonate bombs inside an oil refinery in Israel. We prevented the attack simply because we stopped this guy, and through questioning and other investigative technique, we became aware of the situation. I wound up working with the FBI and the Israeli National Police, all because of randomness. This was my very first solo case. You know, up until then, you didn't do anything without your senior partner. I used to joke that we couldn't even go to the bathroom alone. So they said, well, here's your first case. You have almost a year in. Why don't you get used to doing things independently? And just by dumb luck and playing a hunch and a little bit of intuition, we prevented a major terror attack in Israel. Randomness. One last thing I want to read to you. This is, again, 9/11 Commission report. Recommendation. Targeting travel is at least as powerful a weapon against terrorists as targeting their money. The United States should combine terrorist travel intelligence operations and law enforcement in a strategy to intercept terrorists. There's more wanted to repeat that one more time. By not enforcing the immigration laws, by creating sanctuary cities. You know, we hear about the enclaves of Belgium, the enclaves of Paris. What in the world do you think sanctuary cities wind up creating? You have aliens that come here knowing that they are wanted, and they hide, and that's exactly what they do. They are able to hide because they know that nobody is going to bother them because they're here illegally. And in New York City, you have the mayor providing hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens with identity documents. Identity documents? Think back to what I just read to you. When you provide identity documents to an alien, you're providing them with camouflage. For terrorists and criminals, the change in identity is the equivalent of a chameleon changing color. Why in the world would you provide somebody illegally present in our country with a municipal ID to facilitate their movement around our city and perhaps around the country? Because when people say to somebody, let me see some ID, and they whip out a municipal identity document, it gives them a level of credibility they shouldn't have. It's remarkable, because if you sell fake ID in New York City, the police will arrest you. So now the city of New York is, in essence, providing fake ID to illegal aliens because they can't verify their identities any more than we can't initially. There's no magic process. You know, when you fingerprint somebody from another country, most times nothing comes out of the machine. There's no magic here, folks. There's no magic wand. You know, put him in the machine, we'll find out who he is. Half the time you don't even know what country these folks are from. There was a situation that happened down in Houston, Texas. Because of that Israeli terror case, I had a wonderful relationship with the Israeli National Police, and it was pretty much widely known throughout the old INS that if you had a situation where the Israelis could help us, I was the guy to reach out to. There were plenty of guys. Another one of my colleagues had that kind of relationship with the Jamaican Constabulary, Jamaican Police. There were others who had contacts within Ireland and Great Britain and so forth. So it was, again, this is how immigration used to operate. Bad as it was, I mean, there was something going on there. Well, the police and DEA and immigration agents on the drug task force in Houston were doing surveillance on a stash house in a Mexican neighborhood. And this guy with black curly hair, dark complexion, looked kind of Latino to these guys, comes out of the stash house with a package. They follow him. They decide to pull him over. They pull him over, and they find, as they look into the window, a sort of shotgun on the floor of the car and some bags. And the bags had money, and the bags also had drugs in it. They pull the guy out of the car. They're ordering him to stand with his hands up in English. He doesn't understand them. They looked at his appearance. The place was in Mexico, was in the Mexican neighborhood, so they started to yell at him in Spanish. Well, guess what? He didn't understand Spanish. They dug around in the upholstery of the van, and he had torn up his passport. He was a citizen of Israel. So I got a phone call, and the Israelis were more than happy to help us. They ultimately, in fact, provided police officers to come to the United States, sit on a wiretap, and so forth. The relationship we had with the Israeli National Police, I will tell you, was second to none. And, of course, what this administration has done to that relationship, it breaks my heart and it infuriates me. But think about it. We weren't even sure what country this guy was from. And if you don't think there aren't people claiming to be Mexican who aren't, we know that Iran, for example, is flying airplanes directly into Caracas, Venezuela on a weekly basis and bringing in their shock troops, their Quds forces. How hard is it for somebody to live in Latin America for a couple of years, acquire Spanish language capability, and so then Mohammed becomes Miguel? We have no idea who we're dealing with, but New York City sees fit to provide official identity documents to hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens who may well be fugitives from justice in other countries. This is crazy. And you know, in the last year, the number of slashings and stabbings have gone up, especially in the subways. And what's remarkable I've never seen this before. You almost never see the name of a suspect when they catch people. I don't know who they're catching. I could be completely wrong, but I know there have been stabbings in Israel associated with radical Islamists. Could this possibly be happening in New York City? Maybe. I don't know. But they're not releasing any names. I also know that typically in certain Latino communities, knives are routinely carried by everybody. It was a rare week that I didn't take knives off of people that I arrested who were here illegally from Mexico or El Salvador. So again, who are they arresting? We have no idea. Here's what I'd love to know. How many of the people that have been apprehended for stabbing and slashing innocent people, you know, at random, just random stabbings, how many of these people are walking around with the municipal ID that this city gave them? We are becoming a magnet for criminals, fugitives, and terrorists. And this would be nuts for any city, but let's not forget that New York City is the most prominent city in the United States that would attract the attention of terrorists. It's happened twice, actually more than twice. You had the 93 bombing at the World Trade Center. You had the plot to go after the subways. You had the Times Square bomber, Faisal Shahzad. You had 9/11. I mean, understand, New York is in their sights. So the mayor of New York has done everything in his power to make us more vulnerable. And then when this brilliant administration slashed the counterterrorism budget, de Blasio, the current mayor, immediately ran down to Washington to demand that they reinstate the money, acknowledging that New York is the prime target for international terrorists, especially radical Islamists. Why doesn't he read the 9/11 Commission report? Why doesn't he read the material that I just read to you? Why doesn't somebody read it to him? Why on earth are you making it easy for the bad guys to hide themselves in your city? How many New Yorkers are at risk because of this? How many people have been injured or perhaps killed because of this? This goes beyond irresponsible. You know, why do they arrest people who provide fake ID to people? Well, it's against the law, but the law was written to protect us from people who try to conceal themselves. The number two guy for ISIS, who was just taken out, reportedly, by our special forces, and we owe them once again the debt of gratitude, had at least three or four false names, maybe more. The 19 terrorists of 9/11 in the aggregate had more than 300 false aliases. So the city that is most at risk has a mayor that demands they reinstate his counterterrorism money because he admits that we're the number one target in his judgment, but yet he's providing hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens with identity documents. I wish I could say it was delusional. I don't know what it is. But this is the stuff you're not hearing on TV. I have yet to hear any program, talk about de Blasio providing identity documents to illegal aliens or what it means to national security. We hear so much about intelligence and the war on terror. Humintel is what it's called versus signal intelligence, SIGINT. Okay? Well, if you want to talk about human intelligence, you're talking about cultivating informants. And I can tell you that I've spoken with folks at the CIA who second the motion. I was at a working lunch at the Council on Foreign Relations, believe it or not, about a decade ago. And incredibly, I wound up sitting next to Doris Meisner, the former immigration commissioner. I thought she was going to have a stroke and wasn't my favorite person to be sitting next to because I had big issues with Doris. And everybody was saying we need more people at the State Department to do investigations. They said, no, you need more immigration agents. And when I raised the issue about intelligence and informants and the use of immigration law and authority, one of the guys at this event stood up and said, I spent X number of years with the CIA. I forgot what the number was. And he said, you're 101% correct, Mr. Cutler. I thought I was maybe going to get an argument. He said, no, you're completely right. When we come up with names and locations, it takes the informant to put a face to that name, to put a body to that ID. And when we hear about no-fly lists and people keep changing their identities, what do you think that it does to our ability to use the no-fly list? But don't worry, because New York is providing ID to people. Now, I know those ID probably will not be acceptable to get on airplanes, but perhaps trains, or perhaps just go about the day-to-day business covering their tracks as they're waiting for a phone call or a tap on the shoulder. That's what sleepers are. Why on earth are we allowing cities to make a mockery of our immigration laws, which, according to the 9/11 Commission, were the most pivotal laws in the war on terror? This is an act of national suicide. I don't know any other way of describing it. Welcome to my world of nightmares. This is what keeps me awake at night, folks. That's why I do this program. You need to go out there and tell your friends about my program. Have them listen to the podcast. Have them understand the nature of the threat we're facing. Too much is at stake for us to get it wrong. I fear the next terrorist attack in the United States may well make, God forbid, 9/11 look like a bad hair day. I had a big argument with the council at the Immigration Subcommittee in Congress prior to 9/11. And I said to him in a moment of rage, what the blank will it take, another attack at the World Trade Center? We had that argument on the Friday before 9/11. Where immigration is concerned, it's not that we're not doing what we need to be doing. What we're doing is making it infinitely more dangerous for all of us. It's inexcusable. It has to stop. And when I keep hearing these politicians say we're going to secure the Mexican border, I turn purple. Time we had as many ICE agents as we have Border Patrol agents. You see, we're driven by the Border Patrol. That's a mistake. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of the Border Patrol. I have friends in the patrol. They're doing dangerous, vital work for America. They are worthy of our support. And when Ramos and Compeon, the two Border Patrol agents, were locked up under the Bush administration, he was another character. I went down there in support of those agents. And I trained at the Border Patrol Academy. But we've got to look at immigration enforcement through the eyes of what I call the immigration enforcement tripod. The Border Patrol enforces laws between ports of entry, the inspectors at ports of entry, and the special agents need to enforce the law effectively from within the interior. Not just to arrest illegal aliens for being here illegally, but to go after the fraud. You heard what the 9/11 Commission said about fraud. We need to go after the gangs of smugglers. Again, human traffickers were involved in bringing in terrorists. We need agents to cultivate informants. And I don't mean a handful. There should be at least the 20-odd thousand ICE agents the way we have 20-odd thousand Border Patrol agents. And we need to build up the entire infrastructure, judges, attorneys, whatever it takes. This is war. If you want to see something interesting, there's a documentary that's out there, and I'm going to write an article shortly for capsweb.org in front page, called WW2, you know, World War II from space. When you hear about the thousands of ships and thousands of airplanes that we built, we stopped at nothing, and we defeated the Nazis. Building a fence is too difficult. Hiring ICE agents and enforcing the laws is too tough. And we don't need to track people who overstay their visas, folks. We need to arrest them. How many times have we heard that? With all these overstays, we ought to be tracking them. No, we don't need to track. Yeah, track them so you can put handcuffs on them and put them before a judge. Anything short of doing that is going to get Americans killed. This is a very important topic. I hope you find this program helpful. But again, please let your friends know about this program, about my show re-airing again on Monday evenings on Red State Talk Radio at 11 p.m., Go to capsweb.org, front page magazine, The Social Contract, and, of course, go to my website, michaelcutler.net, and get involved. Spread the word. Have those conversations with your friends, and don't let the open borders anarchists intimidate you. Remember, folks, democracy is not a spectator sport. I very much look forward to seeing you again next week, same time, same place, right here on the Michael Cutler Hour. Good night, everybody.